following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Once again, to It Came From The Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me in the studio, I have Hassan Godwin sitting across from me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Charlie Saladino sitting across from him.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's having any trouble listening on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us live audio streaming.
How's everyone doing?
I'm just going to plow through it. Also on the GBB website.
Look over here.
We have the in-studio webcam, so you can actually see us sitting down live on the webcam. You just press the Look Us Live webcam button, and then you can see us. And the phone number here is area code 631-HHH-8811. This is going to be our special Bizarro episode, because normally we start off with the news and then we have our guests. But this week we actually have our guest first, who's waiting in the wings, and then we're going to do the news segment. So from the Geek Girl Con, we have Erica McGilvray.
Yeah.
Yay! No?
Was it's McGilvray. Erica McGilvray.
McGilvray. I was close. I over enunciated your name.
It's a long one.
So hi, Erica. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and about the con?
Alrighty, well, thanks for having me on. I am the president and marketing director for Geek Girl Con. Geek Girl Con, we're a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting awareness of and celebrating the contribution and involvement of women in all aspects of geek culture, whether it's sciences, technology, comic books, gaming, sci-fi, anything else under the sun. And we're putting on our first annual convention this October 8th and 9th, and that's going to be in Seattle at the Seattle Center North Rooms, right under the shadow of the Space Needle. And we're also putting on a whole bunch of smaller events throughout the year to promote awareness about our con, have some fun, and do a little bit of fundraising as we're a first-year organization.
So what was the driving force behind making this awareness?
Well, it really came together, the idea at San Diego Comic-Con last year. There was a panel there called Do Geek Girls Exist? And afterwards, a bunch of the women who were on the panel and who attended the panel as well came together, and they were like, wow, this is such a great success. We really need to have a convention to celebrate geeky women. And I came aboard a little later after that, it was just, everyone was like, yes, this is something we need to have fun and to celebrate the all types of geekery that women do have.
So let's get right down to it. What are the qualifications to be a geek girl?
Well, we are into, it's really a self-label. No. You would never question anyone if you consider yourself a geek.
No, you're not.
You can certainly join us, and it's not just women. We also invite men to our convention, so our definite focus is women.
So you're not going to have, giant bouncer women outside? No men allowed.
No. Our con is inclusive and welcoming to everyone, whether you're male or female or old or young or any sort of other.
Other?
All yourself.
Okay. Aliens
Martian
are allowed.
Yeah.
Yes, aliens allowed inside.
You know, if aliens want to show up, you
know. So, When you decided to put this together and you're going to start making awareness for other things. What is the first thing that comes to mind when it comes to Geek Girls? I guess the question is, what is the embodiment? What is that you want to promote? What is the information you want to get out there?
We definitely want to tell the world that Geek Girls are out there and we exist, and we want to encourage geeky women to come out of their shells and encourage younger women who are, you know, the next generation of geeky ladies coming up in the world that, you know, they can be scientists or they'll even be a starship captain there in the future. And we also want to say to corporations out there that, hey, women, we buy 85% of all consumer products out there, and, you know, maybe you should make that Star Trek shirt in our size. It might be really good for your bottom line.
So realistically, it's about embracing the female portion of the geek culture, and that way incorporating the women aspect into the whole, I guess, the genre?
Into the subculture, right? Also, for consumer products to be more female-friendly?
Definitely. We want to say, hey, we're here, and we want to celebrate in a way that everyone has a good time, and, you know, you learn a little bit. Maybe you go to a panel that you don't know anything about. You know, maybe you're... I always like to joke because our vice president, Marissa, is a big Star Wars fan, and I'm a big Star Trek fan. So we talk about how, you know, it's that, like, joining of the forces, and we celebrate everything, and we don't get into those little arguments that sometimes Star Trek and Star Wars fans get.
So you don't get into those fights that happen at the certain conventions that we hear about? Somebody gets stabbed in the eye or anything like that?
No, there won't be any of that. We will definitely be celebrating each other instead of arguing. I don't know. No pen stabbing, please.
Instead of clawing people's eyes out.
No pen stabbing, please. That should be under the banner.
We'll make you have a sign. There will be no stabbings of the pens.
So we've actually had a couple of people in charge of other conventions on our show. So how hard is it to put together a convention?
Convention is a lot of work. Geek Girl Con is my second job. I come home from my first job, and then I do all my Geek Girl Con stuff, which Geek Girl Con is 100% volunteers. So everyone who is on staff is giving their time because they love the idea and they want to make it happen.
That's actually very commendable. So anybody can join and help out the cause?
Yes. We have a volunteer form on our website. Our website is geekgirlcon.com. And there's a little tab on the top that says Get Involved. And there's a volunteer form. And you can put whatever sort of thing you're interested in doing and your skills. And we keep all our volunteers in a database. And when we have needs for volunteers, contact you.
And how do you go about getting guests? Do you actually stalk them at other conventions, or are you actually hoping that you'll get some word of mouth? How do you go about finding guests, particularly for your con?
Well, no stalking, please.
No stalking. Yeah. Men are allowed.
That's one of the red words. Yeah, okay. No stalking, no stabbing, and all the S words. Exactly. Soliciting is fine, though. You can solicit.
Okay.
Well, we looked at, when we first sat down with our programming director, we started talking about who we wanted to see and who we could realistically get. Obviously, when you start a convention, you don't have any money, and some guests are expensive. Some require more time and energy to get them, you know, if they're
some guests are for the, like,
or whatever.
Some guests are strictly for the 10th annual Geek Girl convention.
Exactly, and we're planning on having a 10th annual Geek Girl Con. So when we sat down with this list, our programming director then contacted these guests and was saying, hey, you know, we're having this convention and we'd really love you to be there. And right now we have, I believe, 6 guests lined up. We have Bonnie Burton, she works for Lucas Films, and she wrote the How to Draw Star Wars Characters book, and she's coming out with a Star Wars crafting book. And we are also having Trina Robbins, who's a comic book historian, or historian is how she phrases it, and she's also written some comic books. She has a series called Go Girl, and she's also written some Marvel books as well. And then we have power comic book couple, Jen Van Meter and Greg Brucka, who have both worked for DC and Marvel, as well as doing some of their own stuff through Oni Press. And we're having geeky musician Marion Call show up as well, and she'll be doing some performing, so we're really excited about that.
So, Erica, why don't, well, as time comes along, and if you have any more stuff you want to promote, you just let us know. But I just want to know what's your opinion on the role of women nowadays in the world of geek culture, as opposed to how they were in the old days.
I think that women are definitely making a bigger impact than they used to be. I think that the internet has really helped with that. I know for me, that was really how I first got extremely geeky. I should say that I, you know, grew up like sitting on the couch next to my mother when I was a child watching Star Trek. So I started very young, but when I got to that, you know, age of my life when I was like, hey, I wonder if other people out there like Star Trek do, and we know people do, and
one or two,
yeah, just a few. And so I, you know, went online and I met other fans and was able to really connect that way. And I also, when I got to college, I met a whole bunch of Buffy the Vampire Slayer fans. That was very important. And we got together and we used to watch, you know, Buffy and put on other events and, like, going to Rocky Horror Picture Show. And so it's always been really important to me to be part of the geek community and to support my fellow geeky women.
Now, generally speaking, for the most part, at least and the exposure I've had, is that most comic book female characters and television characters are all about the sex appeal. Do you find that to be a hindrance or actually helps the women out there to get their geekness on?
I think that it becomes a hindrance, and that especially when you talk about, so I'm a huge comic book fan, and when you talk about comic books, a lot of women will look at a cover and be like, oh, no, that's completely unrealistic, completely over the top, sexual, and will feel really turned off by that. But if they open the inside, you know, most of the time the inside art is not the same person that did the cover. And it could be completely different, and it could be a really wonderful story. And it makes me really sad when people will be like, oh, yeah, I'm not picking up that comic book because of the cover. And I'm like, but it's so good inside. You would love it if you just read it. And I think I was talking recently with a local comic book store owner, and he was saying that he felt that women were going to be if comic books were to be saved, women were going to be the ones to save it. And that they were the untapped audience.
Well, you go to your generic comic book store, it's very non-woman friendly.
Yeah, it is.
What do you think can be done to make comic book stores more women friendly?
I definitely think cleaning them up. I've been in some very dirty stores in general.
Wow. Just cleaning it up. All right. Cleaning it up.
Yeah. That's not so hard. Well, for guys, if it's run primarily by guys, then you might be out of luck with that. Because a guy's version of clean and a woman's version of clean are two completely different things.
The pile of dirt is over there.
Yeah, it's in one place. It's contained. Everything else is spotless.
I also think that making a kid's section, because a lot of women, you know, bring their kids everywhere. If they are women who have children, and also having staff that is helpful. I've gone into a variety of stores, and there are some great stores that, you know, the staff is really helpful, and there are other stores that I've I've bought things, and the person checking me out hasn't even said a word to me the entire process. Not even like, your total is And I'm the type of person who drops, you know, $30 a week on comic books. So I'm a good customer. You want me shopping at your store.
So say hello every now and then. That might be nice.
Yeah. Or, you know, give me a recommendation if you notice what I'm buying.
So basically treat you like a person.
Yeah, being personable and having good hygiene and having a good cleanly store will maybe help get some women into the profile.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, publishers could really help out stores. You know, think about what you're putting on your cover. If you want to promote a big event that you're expecting to... You know, if you're doing a Brightest Day or a Civil War or what have you, you know, think about the content and what it looks like and that it's accessible to both genders.
We actually had, many years ago, I don't know if you remember this, Hassan, we actually had the Friends of Lulu, the president of Friends of Lulu, who promote women-friendly comics, and we came to the conclusion that women-friendly stuff is like everybody friendly stuff or family friendly stuff, as opposed to just being specifically geared towards men. Is that a valid statement?
I think women like adult themed comic books. I mean, you can't say that it has to be G rated. Some of my favorite comic books are kids books, though. I will admit that.
All right, so. What do you think is the future for the geekdom? If you said you spoke to a couple of comic book stores that they feel that the women are the movement and you have the untapped potential of the women out there, what do you think is going to happen 5-10 years down the line as the way things are going now?
I hope that digital will be a gateway to get people into the comic book stores and that it'll be a low barrier of entry, you know, to download your comic book reading app.
Right.
You get a few comic books for free, and hopefully publishers will make those accessible to everyone. And, you know, so you get that hook, and you get that taste of, hey, these are, you know, these aren't just, like, funny books, or they aren't for children, or they aren't just for guys. They're for me, too. And I think that, you know, there needs to be a diversity of writers and artists, too. That would really help. It would really help impact.
Yeah. You definitely need to get more female writers involved and creators to help. Because a concerted effort for a man to write something that is geared towards women is just going to come out all wrong. You know, guys have their own way of looking at things, and sometimes even their most open-minded attempts at writing for women or getting women correct are so far off the mark that they might as well have not even tried. So, like, to inspire actual women to be the creators of their own, you know, of their own books and their own genre would probably be a big help to getting female fans involved.
Well, I definitely hope that Geek Girl Con can help inspire
women
out there who want to be comic book writers. One guest I sadly neglected to mention in the beginning was Gail Simone, who writes Birds of Prey for DC, and I know she's been a big inspiration for women to read comic books. I know plenty of women who had never picked up a comic book and then were like, oh, maybe I'll check out this Birds of Prey, and have fallen in love, and now, you know, their pull list are as long as mine.
So we got, since you said you had to go at the halfway mark, I'm going to give you a few minutes to promote anything else you want to mention, any websites, any events. Now's the time to promote it.
All right. Well, we do have a ton of upcoming events. Our next big thing is this, if you're in Seattle this weekend on Saturday at 10 a.m., we're having our all hams meeting. And that's basically where anyone can come who's interested in Geek Girl Con, and you can give feedback if you've been to our events. You can just check us out, what we're doing. And that will also be Ustreamed for people who can't make it because you're somewhere else.
No first-class tickets to Seattle, Washington for everybody?
Oh, yeah. If I had that kind of budget. And we're also this weekend on Sunday at noon having a craft day, which, you know, you also actually have to be in Seattle to attend. And we're going to be making some fascinators and little burlesque hats. It'll be a really fun time. And we are starting next Tuesday for a month worth of Tuesdays, so four Tuesdays. We are building a TARDIS. So BBC America is having a Build Your Own TARDIS competition, and Geek Girl Con has decided that we're going to enter. And we will be building it and then submitting photos of it to the BBC. It does have to be displayed. Once it's completed, it needs to be displayed for 24 hours in a public place. We haven't quite worked out those details yet.
Does it have to be a working TARDIS?
I wish. And we're actually, once at Geek Girl Con, we will be auctioning off the TARDIS for charity. Oh, and additionally, awesome. We're encouraging everyone to send in geeky gifts. And we're going to be donating these toys and other items to a children's charity. And you can find out our address and more information about that if you'd like to send in some geeky things to inspire the next generation. And at the end of this month, on the last Sunday, we're having a scavenger hunt. And that's in Vancouver, Washington at Odyssey Comics. That's at noon, and we'll be breaking, it'll be a team scavenger hunt, and we'll be going over all over Vancouver trying to, you know, find those clues and taking pictures of what's on your scavenger hunt list.
That was so awesome.
Be a lot of fun.
See, why couldn't you be based in New York?
Yeah. It's holy.
Well, we hope you guys can come out for at least the con.
I'd be a geek girl for a day.
Well, the con is sometimes off. We can actually still make plans to go down.
Yeah,
to the
we can probably get around to that.
But so Erica, the website is geekgirlcon.com, correct?
Yes, it is.
So we wish you the best of luck, and like I said, whenever you have more information, let me know, and I'll be happy to put on the show. And we thank you so much for coming out and being a guest on our show. Do you have anything else you want to mention in the last few minutes before we take our commercial break?
I don't think so. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
Well, thank you
for
being here.
Come to Geek Girl Con, October 8th and 9th in Seattle.
All righty. And if that, we'll be right back. We'll be taking our break. Right back, we came from the radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
Planets all stand still. Barbarella, psychedella, there's a kind of cockle shell about you.
Barbarella, Barbarella.
Dazzle me with rainbow color, fade away the dollar shade. Get me up high, teach me to fly, electrify my night with starry light above the stratosphere. Bring your dearness near till the dawn comes tumbling down.
Don't make a sound.
Every word we need comes. You read my eyes, say it.
around, dying girl to hold you and make love. Sacadella, never can a fella name or claim you. Barbarella, 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 Barbarella.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back with a game from the radio.
Hey, Mark. Mark's back.
Yeah, it's Mark Doris.
Mark just came back.
Hassan, Galen, and Charlie Sound.
Mark, get up.
Charlie, you're still here? We haven't heard
yes,
from you.
Yes, I am. I took a little nap.
Mark as soon as the interview was over and ran. I've never seen him run before. I thought he was going to the bathroom.
Way back in the old days, you forgot? I used to run around all the time.
I don't remember running.
You're that old?
Yeah.
All right.
I only see kids run. Adults don't run. Unless someone's after them.
So, yes, that was actually, she was actually a really good
guest.
That was very nice of her. Did you not have a question for the geek girl?
I couldn't. I was having little problems with my earphones. And also, I was, again, just listening and taking all the info in.
Yeah, so maybe we'll be able to go down to Seattle, Washington. That'd be kind of cool.
We can try to do that, yeah.
That'd be awesome. We'll have our own panel. We'll be the only guy panel there.
Yeah, they go. Yeah.
Boo,
the Geek Guys. Geekguys.com. We're starting Geekguys.com.
Geek Guys.
Get hit with tomatoes. Why does someone always bring tomatoes to a speech? who had the foresight to bring tomatoes to our panel?
All right, so now that
I wonder if they thought of contacting Phil in the Cage of Folgio of Girl Genius. That's sort of the ultimate girl geek comic.
Oh, see, look at that.
There you go.
Where was Tom during the interview?
Tom was listening to the interview also.
Yeah, I've been listening very intently, and I found it fascinating. That's why I played Barbarella, incidentally, as our song for the commercial break, since it's the only thing I have other than something having to do with she, that was remotely girl science fiction-y.
You should have played the Mr. Clean song.
Oh.
Clean.
For the comic book shop.
That really blew me away.
I never realized how terrible those were until she said that. And I was like, then I was thinking of some holes in the walls that I've been in. Like, those are pretty bad.
Yeah, you go into someone, you wonder if they've paid off the fire marshal not to close them down.
You know, this wall, it's got a hole in it, right? There's things crawling.
That's where rats hang out. That's
All right. So just let me grab these three issues and get the heck out of here.
Let me do with the news because we're now.
Yeah, do the news, Mark.
Do you have any news?
I do, actually. let's see. I guess we'll go with comics news first.
Yeah, why not?
As you all know, the Human Torch.
No,
has
we don't know.
Bit the big one. They killed him off.
Oh, really? Did they kill Reed Richards like 20 years ago.
Yeah, now the Human Torch is gone. And so the comic book will now be called the Future Foundation instead of the Fantastic Four, so they can keep their FF logos.
Wow.
Yeah, Hassan just lost all respect for
that's
transition. Isn't it right around the time that the Human Torch is actually going to become Captain America?
Yeah, that's right.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
It's just,
you know what that brings to mind for me? Working at a radio, working at
something
a TV
bad.
Station. Yeah, that brings to mind like when Channel 7 said, "Ha, we're getting rid of Taxi. This is not going to sell." And it went to Channel 4, and it was...
It was huge.
It was huge on 7.
Yeah.
It was huge on...
It's like... that reminds me, actually, of Galactica 1980 and Sequest 2080, 2980 Monkey, or whatever. However, every time you just reboot the series without warning, without telling the fans, and you just add a new title to it, and it's like, oh, it's a whole new direction. You know, this is, it inspires a whole new vision, and it's always crap.
Yeah.
Because Galactica 1980 is pure, is just such a description of crap,
yes.
Of television crap. It is so bad. I'm the original series of Battlestar Galactica fan. I love it. It only lasted one season. And the first season was great. So the second season comes up on the Sci-Fi Channel, so I get to relive the season. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna watch every one of these episodes and get it. And it was so difficult. It was so bad. It was so bad. It was so hard. Yeah. And just halfway through, I'm like, I don't really even care where the show's going now. It got canceled 20 years ago. Obviously, we're not getting any new episodes.
Yeah, well, you know what it is the network suddenly got cold feet about it, and they started bouncing it all over the place and canceling it three-quarters of the time. And so since obviously the network didn't care about it, the people who made it stopped caring about it. And you started them visiting a different weirdo planet every week, and they did a takeoff on Planet of the Apes, I think, and another one on High Noon. And you're right. It degenerated into crap. But, the blame, sort of like the blame for what happened to Babylon 5 could be dropped exactly at the feet of network executives who didn't have any faith in their own product, who got scared too easily, who refused to let it develop, and who basically wound up cutting their own throats.
And kept moving it around. And in spite of it being the classic stock footage, there's a classic vehicle for the reuses of the same stock footage week after week. Each show supposedly cost $1 million.
Back then, really?
Yeah. So back then, $1 million in 1970 or 1980, I think in 1979 was
wow.
It was quite a bit of money. $1 million now is quite a bit
Maybe
of money.
The stock footage they had to pay the rights every time they played it or something. Who knows?
I have no idea, but that's one of the reasons they panicked and said, "Oh, we gotta get this too much."
And that'll do it. Speaking of, I guess, putting their own spin on things.
Mr. Segway.
Finally, it has been revealed that the new X-Men is going to be about.
I saw a trailer.
Yeah, the Fox says.
So I already know.
Fox says in the 1960s, Charles Xavier and Eric Lanier are compatriots bound together by their mutant abilities that have not yet been revealed to the world when a band of evil mutants, the Hellfire Club, begins working behind the scenes to orchestrate a nuclear war. The two leads put together a team of young mutants to stop them. Director Matthew Vaughn says there's going to be a lot of action in this movie, but it's also got a lot of teenage angst. The Twilight girls will like it.
Wow, he said that. Okay, well, anyway, beyond that, I saw the trailer and I said, wait a minute, this story is about Charles Xavier and Magneto when they were kids.
Yeah,
this is awesome, and I actually am actually excited about it and looking forward to it. Yeah. What we were told, what you're led to believe when they said that they're going to, X-Men First Class, it's just going to be like X-Factor. It's going to be Cyclops and the rest of them when they were very very young, and somehow they'll stick Wolverine in there somehow because that's an attraction.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Yeah, but and it just it wouldn't mesh with the storyline at all. It wouldn't mesh with the legacy of X-Men and all, but if they're doing it this way, that's gonna be cool.
All right,
I'm looking forward to that. So, see, yeah, I like.
All right,
we can stop the show now.
Hassan is happy. Like the end.
I'm gonna stop talking. I'm done. Well,
Alexa Hente is pleased.
Well, I have. Well, I have some news that's gonna make you unpleasing.
Oh man, no! Don't ruin it.
If you remember, a couple weeks ago, we actually did a show about rewriting the written word, and then it came out that they're gonna make a new Huckleberry. They're gonna rewrite the Huckleberry.
I know what you're gonna say.
They're gonna take a few words out.
Go ahead.
For those of you that don't know, Kickstarter.com is a place where creators can pose an idea, and it allows visitors to go to the site to donate money to make that dream a reality. So it turns out that these creators on Kickstarter.com proposed a project where they're going to be called the, quote, the definitively politically correct Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, unquote, replacing the N-word with the word robot. Creator says, statistically, people prefer robots to the word N-word, and the N-word is ugly and pejorative. Robots are fun and cool, even when they're trying to take over our world. So we decided to take the N-word out of Mark Twain's classic and replace it with the word robot.
Danger, danger, Will Robinson. Extreme silliness coming up. Danger.
Pardon me while I puke. Seriously. Mark Twain is spinning now so many revolutions in that grave.
But the kicker is that, you know, when they make the donations, they have their goal of $6,000, and it exceeded their goal. As of today, it has 586 backers and has made a little over $15,000 for this project.
Oh, the humanity. Will Penny.
I've lost my entire faith in mankind.
Nothing?
The pain.
If you can see it on the webcam, you can see Hassan's look right now. It's like he has a bulging vein. It's going to explode.
There really, honestly, isn't anything to say about that.
Wow.
Yeah. There's nothing I could say. Let's put it this way. There's nothing I can say on the air that would totally express the truer depth of what I'm feeling right now. So yeah, well, we should just might as well just leave it at that.
All right.
And
wow.
Now they'll probably go after Edgar Allan Poe, and there'll be no black crows in his stories.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It'll be the dove.
It'll be a little robot.
It wouldn't be the raven. It'll be the dove.
Little robot bird.
Nanobites.
Oh, nevermore. Nevermore.
It'll be little nanobites.
Yeah.
All right. So moving along. Speaking of robots.
Mr. Segway.
Speaking of robots.
In the Jeopardy Battle of Man versus Machine, Machine won. Watson.
Wow.
All right. Well, that's over. In our lifetime, we finally have the answer to that question.
Watson, the IBM computer, pulled in a total of $77,000, with Ken Jennings coming in at second place with $24,000, and third place went to Brad Rutter with $21,000. Of course, the real winner was the game show itself, because it has sported the highest ratings that it's ever had in 6 years.
And the robot from Huckleberry Finn coming in fourth.
Of course, what was really disturbing was when they asked the machine what was the Industrial Revolution, and it answered, "We won."
Yeah, Colossus, the Forbin Project. Yeah, I could just see it. In time, you will learn to love me.
Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer, please. Sorry.
When you hear your home computer doing that, you know it's time to throw it away and get another one.
You're in serious trouble.
So moving along with talk of, I guess, I can't even segue into this. So No segue.
Mr. Non-Segue.
I'm going to pronounce his name wrong.
Okay.
Hisham Awad, project leader of the defense company for the BAE Systems, has announced a new unmanned tank that was based on the Dark Knight version of the Batmobile. is going to be out there. So he saw the movie. He's like, hey, this is awesome. And he's going to make an unmanned tank.
For the military.
Because it's based on how it maneuvers with the basic configuration and design, yes, of the Batmobile.
So now we'll be able to fight without actually going on the battlefield.
Right, with a Batmobile-type tank.
Can I ask you a big favor?
Yes.
Could you say that name again?
Hisham Awad.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had that once, and I went to the doctor, and I got an ointment.
It nearly killed me.
Yes.
When asked why he would do such a thing, he replied, well, why not? We decided that we didn't have a monopoly on inspiration, and if we saw something in a film that we thought might be a good idea, why not take a look at it and see if there's something practical we can develop?
They've been doing that with Star Trek for years.
Well, it might save the lives of tanker crews.
Yeah. So you know,
they're growing ears on the backs of mice. Okay, so a remote control tank—that's late.
Well, that's
5 minutes ago.
The news is that it's molded after a Batmobile.
Why? Why? You know, why did you need? Never mind.
Oh, it says why not? That's funny.
Yeah, no, why not? Why that's not a good enough answer.
Yeah, they're also developing the first jet-powered stealth drone bomber.
That's great. And so you have very little commitment of human life to go and nuke other human life.
And in the year 25, 25.
If man is still alive and woman can survive.
And actually, last week's news that the guy with the water powered jetpack.
Oh yeah,
he's a guy with a water powered jetpack that's supposed to be commercially available.
If I remember from last week's show, which is a week ago, was $136,000, and you can buy it if you have that right now. You can buy it.
A Batmobile tank and a jetpack. You'd be like James Bond in your garage.
Get yourself killed really easily. Yeah.
Could you imagine? Think of that guy who bought the comic book for $1 million. He'll be flying it.
If I only would have spent my money more wisely.
He'd be on my terrace. Yes. Like, what are you doing on my terrace?
Jetpack away.
I ran out of water.
Oops, yeah. I was just going to say, can I borrow your hose?
Yeah, I wonder how great a distance you can go with it, because I know with the jetpacks they have now that they can only stay in the air for something like about 15 seconds or 20 seconds, because they just burn fuel like an alcoholic at a free bar.
I could just see it now. Wow. Exxon, water, $3.50 a gallon.
Alrighty, moving along, we have a...
And it just couldn't have been Exxon, it could have been Sunoco, anything, you know.
Yes.
Don't have the Exxon Corporation.
We look forward to your letter.
Don't you ever say that again, signed and signed.
We actually have some sad news, more sad news.
Oh, man!
let me see, where is it? Borders.
Group, I heard about that.
They filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Not Borders.
Yeah.
It's my favorite place.
Because of which they plan...
That's where you used to do all your signings.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I'll have to go there before they... I got
that one last signing.
Get a lot of pens.
Because of which they plan to close about 200 locations within the next several weeks. The executives say filing for bankruptcy protection should enable the company to operate the stores that will remain open.
They're going under.
Honoring its Borders Rewards program, gift cards, and other customer programs.
They're going under.
Also,
they wouldn't buy any books.
We expect to make payroll and continue its benefit programs for its employees.
They said the reason,
however many are left.
They said the reason this is happening is because of the digital books, the online books, and the readers and stuff have been taken off. So no one's actually coming in to buy actual. So Amazon's making all the money.
Yes,
because they're having downloading files and stuff and the
correct
book. It's fantastic.
the interesting point of this is that we mentioned way back when that Diamond stopped sending books to Borders. Now, part of filing for bankruptcy is letting the public know who your creditors are and how much you owe them. So it turns out that Borders owed Diamond Distributors a little over $3 million, which is probably what led them to stop shipping the books to them in the first place.
Wait a minute, they were in debt?
They were in debt to Diamond for $3 million.
$3 million. But
prior to this shutdown, right?
This was why they stopped, because they're like, you owe us $3 million. You're not giving us money. We're going to stop sending you more product. That way, we won't go into further debt. But as we already know, Diamond is doing bad themselves. Mm-hmm. So now this information is public knowledge that Diamond was $3 million owed, and they're probably not going to see that. So it might actually make people have less faith in Diamond, which actually might make them go under as well.
Wow.
So what kind of a interesting
chain reaction of events? We still got Barnes &
Noble. Yeah, that's true, but...
and dominoes keep falling.
So this might be the end of Diamond.
I don't care.
Diamond's been a cruel master of the... especially for the comic book industry. A lot of independents have just been crushed under the boot heels of
Diamond.
And it's not. I mean, I don't want anybody over there to lose their jobs and the company
it's
to close down.
It's not people. It's the
But the company policy has just been terrible. It held a number one monopoly on printing rights and publishing for 20 years. And it's it's getting killed now because of the digital age, and also because people are going through third party printers The third-party printers' quality has actually come up because of the digital the digital revolution.
Yeah.
So that's what you get for
a double-edged sword, I guess. You know, it's a good.
But I mean, that's what they get for monopolizing everything. You know, I mean, people can't. It's the typical business. Like everyone says, a small business is what makes the economy flow, or whatever. But if bigger businesses are crushing people who are trying to create small businesses in the first place, then they can't get their wares out. They can't actually make the money. You know, they can't propel the industry. Thus, the three comic book giants, Marvel, DC, and Image, right? They're the only ones there, and they become more and more corporate. So that people lose more and more faith in comic books, not just the big three, but comic books in general.
Right.
They stop buying. They start downloading their books or whatever they can do for free. Diamond takes a hit because they have nothing to publish anymore. They have nothing to print. So everybody falls apart because one person had to be a D and decide that he was going to D everybody who wanted to make a book.
Rhymes with Rick.
Yeah.
And D stands for Diamond.
Yeah, more like loose. Yes, D was for Diamond. But it more rhymes with loose than Rick. Or Lick.
Okay.
D's.
So, more sad news. Activision announced that the Guitar Hero franchise will soon be put to rest for the foreseeable future.
Aww.
Executives say...
People can't fake...
fake learn how to play
their talents anymore? That's a shame. What will we do? Maybe people will have to learn how to play actual instruments again.
Executives say, due to the continued declines in the music genre, the company will disband Activision's publishing Guitar Hero business unit and discontinue development on its Guitar Hero game for 2011.
Wow, he's saying it's the music industry that's declining,
yes,
and that's why you're getting rid of the Guitar Hero.
That's the blame, yes, because you know, downloads and stuff instead of, you know.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, when the music industry just
declines. Because, what is music? Music is sound painted on silence. So, therefore, we need this music.
About 500 employees will be affected, quote-unquote, laid off by the cancellation. And what's interesting to note is that Guitar Hero 3, which came out in 2007, set an industry record by being the first video game ever to earn over $1 billion in retail sales. So
how odd that they would discontinue it.
Yeah,
because I think the sales aren't as good as they used to be for Guitar Hero. I don't think it has... It might have something to do with the music industry, but the fact of the matter is the sales for Guitar Hero aren't doing well. And then they have to discontinue it, and they blame it on the music. He doesn't have the gumption to blame it on the actual sales of the product.
Right, exactly. They're not blaming it on the product when, in fact, on the upscale, this new Michael Jackson dance craze thing is selling like wildfire. The kids are buying it up. It was at Comic-Con.
I remember that.
Oh, my God. I cannot tell you, just in my family alone and my friends and my godchild and at Hull College, this thing is the new craze. So I think that might have been the reason for the drop in Guitar Hero.
Good. Okay. And then the guy doesn't even.
There's 500 people out of work here.
I'm sorry, and it's I have no. It's got nothing to do with the people who are out of work. It's the ego of the guy who invented it in the first place, or the proprietor of it in the first place, who can't even admit that his sales are down. So he blames the music industry for his faulty sales. I was like, when they canceled Battlestar Galactica, they were like, "Wow, it's just we didn't have the we always foresaw that we were going to end it, so we're gonna we're just gonna bring it to a wrap now." Yeah. Oh yeah, you're gonna stop the number one show on television, right? Just on a whim, you're gonna stop making money. You're gonna put everybody who works for you out of work on a whim, so you can maintain the integrity of your show.
Sure,
that's baloney. And then one of the stars, I forget what her name is, came and said, "We just didn't have the ratings for a show that's as expensive as ours." I go, "You got canceled. Right there, you got canceled. They didn't know to shut her up before she got to the podium.
Stop her.
And she admits that their ratings were bad and they got canceled, which happens.
Could you see that in the executives watching that at home?
Tackle her.
She's saying?
And pulling the hair out. She's choking the
dog. Walking from the panel to the podium. "I just want to tell everybody here that we got..." And they just tackle her and drag her off the stage. Oh, she's sick. She
doesn't know. It's an on-air stroke.
She's having a stroke.
Yeah. Craziness.
She's having a seizure.
That's it.
So yeah, so basically the world.
So the music industry is ending. The books are going out. No one's buying any books. Video games, yeah. Music, books, television, movies. It's over. It's just over. Everything's over. All we have is the internet. That's all we have.
Actually, it's weird that this news would actually affect what our guest was saying. So the women are actually going to be what's going to bring us back.
I believe that 100% that the women are going to bring us back. I don't know about cleaning up any of those retail stores. I don't know if that's going to happen. But
it's actually funny when she said about having outfits that would fit women. It immediately made me think of the football commercials that they're having now, that they're making women-friendly jerseys for the public consumption.
Although,
like, you know, well, all right, that's a good idea. Like,
see, the problem here's where guys get into trouble. Okay, here's where it gets. Guys have to let women lead. Okay, because when guys go, you know what, we should come up with like these jerseys that fit women, right? First of all, two things are going to happen. A, he's gonna design a jersey to accentuate certain attributes of women that's not going to be too flattering.
I'm right on the same page.
Exactly. So that's one thing that may happen. B, the only reason he may not want to do it is because the minute he says I'm gonna come up with jerseys that are friendly to women, he's afraid the women are gonna go, why? We're not good enough for the jerseys that you already got? And he's gonna be like, no, that's not what I mean. I just figured you guys would buy these. They were like cute and like some of them were pink and stuff like that. And then they'd kill him. So that's why you have to go to a woman when you want to do a particular line of clothing and say, I want to make a line of clothing for women. What should I do? And then let her make the suggestions. A, because they're probably all going to be the good suggestions and you're going to sell them. And B, she could take the fall if they're not good suggestions.
Uh-huh.
That's how it happens.
We have Starter, we have Champion. Now you're going to have the Jet jersey brought to you by Vera Wang.
And that's just not going to not going to get us anywhere. That's not going to solve the battle of the sexes. You know, that's going to make it worse.
And it's so ridiculous because jerseys are all oversized anyway.
Yeah.
There's no fit.
No.
There's
nobody fits
fit. It's
and fat jerks still look fat. Yeah. Skinny jerks still look skinny.
You put a hockey jersey on 5,000 women, it's going to look the same.
Exactly.
You put a football jersey,
and if you make it pink, it negates the whole problem. You know, yes. it negates the whole purpose.
For a while, they did.
Pink jerseys, because that's what the Mighty Ducks wear. They wear pink hockey jerseys. That's right. So you won't get punched in the face for that.
Yeah.
Well, if I remember correctly, the way how jerseys got invented in the first place is it was supposed to be clothing for sailors, with the idea in mind being it would be very loose so that if they accidentally fell overboard, they could get out of them quickly. And not be pulled down to the bottom. Same thing with bell-bottom trousers, by the way, so they could get them over shoes.
How about that? Look at that.
That's awesome.
Maybe you should have went up against Watson for the Jeopardy. You would have won.
We're going to start calling you the professor. This is it.
Or Dr. Tom Ross.
Been done. That is my official nickname, Dr. Tom Ross.
All right.
You see? All right.
The doctor is in.
We'll have a sign, Doc Tom. All right.
Doc Tom.
We have one final sad news now.
Why would you end with the sad news?
Because that's what we usually do.
No.
Joanne Siegel.
We don't end with news at all.
The widow of Superman creator Jerry Siegel and the model for the original likeness of Lois Lane passed away at 93 this week. The pending lawsuit that was going on with DC Comics and the estate, we don't know what's going to happen with that because she passed away.
She's the last representative of that side.
I believe so. I think they have a daughter. I'm not 100% sure, but you know, it's very sad that she passed away.
Yeah, it is.
So that was.
Well, thanks for that.
That does it for our crazy
bizarro.
Well, hey,
I'm going to go out and I feel happier now.
If you remember, all of our news items are on our Facebook page. And
hoorah!
And if you miss any part of this show, you can go online to www.itcamefromrio.com. Archives will be up in a week. And I always forget to mention that we're also available on podcasts. So you can go on iTunes
podcast.
And stuff. Like immediately after
podcast.
The show, you can actually go and listen to us. You know, type in your whatever pod things you can do.
Really? Is that the way it works?
That's the best I can do. You can listen to
pod
our show.
Things. You can get one of them pod thingies.
Yeah, those pod thingies.
At that iTunes
That's
thingy.
What Lady Gaga came out of a pod thing, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
She was covered in Lady Goo Goo at the time. But
so we have, what, 2 minutes to go? We have 1 minute to go, so we have a quick final thought between everybody, Charlie?
No,
there's no final thought.
Always drink milk with every meal.
So I say just make sure you guys go to geekgirl.com and support them and support us, and we will hear from them again. And that's it for us this week. We'll see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.